Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, March 28th. Happy Missions Monday, and I'm reading from the New International Version. As we begin the podcast today, I just want to start not by singing, but by thinking about the song Holy Spirit. I was reminded last week of just the importance of using songs in prayer. And so, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. May your glory, Lord, be what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. As we enter this time of reading, Lord, would you overwhelm us with your presence? Starting with Exodus chapter 11. The title in my Bible says, The Plague on the Firstborn. Now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here, and when he does, he will drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. So Moses said, This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the female slave, who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All those officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, Go, you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Lord had said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. I have kind of been avoiding talking about God hardening Pharaoh's heart because it's so hard to understand. And it is a heavily debated topic. So hear me clearly, I want to come at this with just a humility that we don't know. But the article that I read on the Bible Project website, the title of the blog is When Pharaoh's Heart Grew Harder. And they discussed this problem of evil. Was it Pharaoh that hardened his heart, or was it God that hardened Pharaoh's heart? And the answer is yes, both happen. But they tend to think there's a progression in plagues 1-5, that it's either ambiguous or stated that Pharaoh is the one to harden his own heart. And then in plagues 6-10, four times we see that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So there's this progression where God knows our hearts and he allows Pharaoh chances to change his heart. And then after time, he then hardens Pharaoh's heart. This is a feeble attempt at explaining kind of the progression, but other people see it very differently. And Romans 9 comes into play here, where in Romans 9:18, Paul says, Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, talking about God, and he hardens whom he wills. And so they grapple with this, and their explanation is that Paul sees in Pharaoh's hard heart a pattern that was again at work in Paul's own day, namely the rejection of Jesus the Messiah by many of his own Jewish people. So in this passage, they tend to think that Paul's not offering commentary on the complicated theme of Paul's hard heart, nor is he claiming that God alone is responsible. He's summarizing the main point of the Exodus story, that God's purpose to bless cannot be thwarted by heinous human evil. And we have to think about that in the cross as well. Jesus went to the cross, which was a heinous human evil, that people crucified him, and that our sins brought him to that. This is awful, but God used it for his salvific purposes, so that we might have redemption through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Those are not complete thoughts. It only is a reminder for us that the Bible is sometimes difficult to understand. We must wrestle with it, and ultimately, it's an opportunity for us to check our hearts. Are we living in submission to God and his purposes, or are we hardening our hearts and always fighting against God and his plans for us? Let's continue now with the Psalms. Today we read Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord. For he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Now let's turn over to John 21. I love this passage, verses 1 through 14. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go out with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I went back and watched the second video on the Bible Project website on the Gospel of John, and they reminded me that this story of Jesus and the catch of fish is a sort of parable for us for listening for Jesus' voice and obeying Him when He speaks. They say that His followers will be most effective in the world when their focus is not so much on their work as such, but on simply listening for Jesus's voice and obeying Him when He speaks. That's when they will truly see Him at work in their lives. And so today, I just encourage us to look around and to see the places and listen for the voice of the Lord to tell us and to help us to see the ways that He wants us to work in His world. We can't forget that it's Missions Monday, and so we want to be praying alongside the Turlock Ministry, Oleg and Natasha Turlock, and they work with lots of countries in the Stans and Moldova, and they have lots of work in Ukraine. And so that's where we will focus our prayer time today as we pray that the people of Ukraine and of other countries in Eastern Europe will know the good news of the gospel in word and in deed. If you are following along and praying for people through the alphabet, today we are praying the letter I. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your word. Thank you for the reminder, God, that you give us chances and you help us to see you at work. Thank you that you gave Peter another chance. And thank you, Lord, that you are so gracious with each of us. We pray for Natasha and Oleg Turlock, and we ask, Lord, your blessings on their ministry. We pray for peace in Ukraine and that the war would stop. We pray, God, that you would give wisdom to those in power and that you would send leaders with a sense of humility and understanding that God alone has power over human history. We want to pray for the Russians, that many Russians have spoken out vocally against this war, and we want to pray for bravery in the face of suffering for that. We pray for reconciliation between the Russians and the Ukrainians, and we pray for unity in the Christian church abroad. Please, Lord, bless the refugees that have been displaced and bless those who have taken them in. We thank you, Lord, for the message of the gospel, and we believe that you are at work. Help us to know the ways that you want us to engage with your work today. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.